Back out this evening and looking forward to this evening's service. And how many of you got a nap this afternoon? I've heard several reports. Okay. Some of us got a really long nap. I had to call Missy. I said, "Are you awake?" "Oh, I'm glad you called." But it's good to be back in the house of the Lord this evening. And what a great time we had here this morning. We had one young teenager this morning accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior in the service. Praise the Lord for that. And I'm glad God is still in the saving business. How about you? That young lady, she was, buddy, she held that hand up there and she didn't even let it down. So I thank God for that this morning, that she called upon the name of Jesus. Let's go ahead and open up in prayer this evening. I'd like to ask Eddie Mayo, if he would, to open us up in a word of prayer. Amen. Take your hymnals and turn to page 117. Page 117. I'd like to welcome Brother Ian, the intern pastor down here at Craig Valley. Good to have you tonight. Hope you enjoyed the service. Everybody make him feel welcome tonight. And be sure to go by and introduce yourself after the service tonight, okay? Let's stand to our feet and sing page 117. Draw Me Nearer. I was talking about this morning, and I'm going to continue along those lines tonight about being spiritual. What it means and what it looks like and everything. And, really this ought to be the cry of our heart, that we draw nearer and nearer to the Lord. We draw near to a lot of things, but there's nothing more precious than we could draw nearer to. And the Bible says if we'll draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to us. I really believe that whenever we draw nigh, He comes a-running. And I'm so thankful that's the God that we serve. So let's sing these words and pay attention to it. May this be our prayer tonight. Draw me near. Page 117.
Call me near.
For the scripture spotlight tonight, to have some verses they want to quote, they've memorized this week. I know Miss Summer has one, so Summer, you make your way up here, and anybody else? And so, oh, surely we have some others. Let me find my microphone. All right, there it is. Okay. I'll start with Miss Summer, okay? So you won't forget. All right.
Genesis 1:1. God had created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
My name is Amber, and Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16-24. I tried to do the other week. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it.
Everyone eat up here and do Proverbs 3:23. Everybody ready next week. Everybody needs to hear that. I tell you what a blessing it was to hear and quote that down there in the teen class. And so everybody needs to hear that. And now some of you gentlemen, scripture there in class down there, like for you to come up and quote it sometime. So be thinking about that. And pray about it. If you don't want to, pray about it, and God will tell you to do it. So, all right. Well, tonight, our theme this morning about being spiritual, and I'm going to be preaching probably next Sunday, next couple Sundays on this idea, not the idea, but this thought of what it means. A lot of things are identified. Help. How much did I help this morning? Amen. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the Word of God, and I'm thankful for how it just opened things up to us. But before I preach this message on Matthew chapter 22 tonight, I want to sing a song. I think this is all about the Spirit-filled life and having our desires where they ought to be and on who it should be on. This song is called Look For Me at Jesus' Feet. It's an older song. Squire Parson wrote this song many years ago. He wrote this song after that his wife, he was traveled all over the country singing, and he wrote this song after he had a conversation with his wife. His wife was talked to him, and she was really concerned, wanted him to be safe, and just didn't want anything to happen to him before he got home. You know, sometimes you just sort of get that intuition and different things, and just and so she was really concerned about him. And he sat down and wrote the words of this song, I think even in the motel room that night before he went home. It's "Look for Me at Jesus' Feet." You know, I made a statement a few Sundays ago on a Sunday night as we was talking about the remaking, talking about the new heaven and the new earth. And I made this statement. I said, you know, if Jesus isn't there, I don't want to go. You know, a lot of people get all excited about the streets of gold, which it's wonderful, the mansions. In my father's house are many mansions, but we're not so well told you. The jewels of that city walls and the pearly gates. But you know what? The main emphasis, all that is just to show, just to point us to the glory of God, the glory of Jesus Christ. I want to see Jesus. I want to thank Him for saving a wretch like me. I want to thank Him for this life that He has given me. He's the one that our hearts should desire and long to see. So listen to the words of this song, "Look for Me at Jesus' Feet."
Look for me.
If I leave this world of sorrow sometime before you do, just look for me in heaven and we'll talk the air. But if at first you fail to see me, let me tell you where I'll be. I'll be thinking Christ, my Savior, for saving rich like me. But if you should reach that city before my time has come, perhaps you would like to greet me when my race down here is run. Just wait, for I'll soon be coming across life's ebbing sea. And I tell you now, dear loved one, just where to wait for me. Don't look beneath the gates of pearl. Don't look on the streets of gold. Don't look by the walls of jasper, nor among the many sights untold. For I've been longing and I've been waiting for the precious Holy One to see. There I'll be through the countless ages. Look for me. the precious Holy One to sing. There I'll be through the countless ages. Look for me at Jesus' feet. Look for me. Where you go, find me. I'll be looking, look for me at Jesus' feet. I said something. I preached a funeral this week, and I got my Bible over here, of Mrs. Jones, and I was talking about that hope that we have and how we have all that through Jesus Christ. And I made this statement, and I thought, man, how true that is. You know, I told the family, I said, I know that y'all love Mama. I know that you loved your wife. I know that the folks here love their friends. But the greatest question you can be asked today is, do you love Jesus? Because He's made that possible, that we have that hope, that we'll see our loved ones again. And when someone knows Christ as their personal Savior, and they go on, and we'll be able to see Him again. Jesus made that possible. Yeah. Look for me at Jesus' feet. Well, tonight I want to be looking at Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40. And this morning, like I said, I begin this I'll be looking at a few weeks anyway on talking about being spiritual. And I want to continue along those lines tonight. And in Matthew chapter 22, we see that Jesus Christ, really, He just wrapped it all up in two commandments. About all the law, about the Word of God, everything that's being taught, everything that we should do is wrapped up here in these two statements that is given to us by Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter 22, make me a time to get there tonight. You ever do that? You just look around, next thing you know, you're in Ephesians and everything. Matthew's the first book of the New Testament, but then you get distracted. But Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40. Let's go ahead and read those, and then I want to discuss these, and we're going to break them down and look at some things, some certain words here tonight, and try to get a better understanding. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him by saying, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" You know, don't we always want what's the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom, you know? What's the greatest one to keep? Hey, the truth of the matter is, they're all great. And we ought to want to keep all of them. We ought to just want to do what God wants us to do, not just particularly focus on one thing. But He said, what is the greatest commandment of all? And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law." Hang all of it. Right there on these two commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Hey, love the Lord thy God with all thy soul. Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. And then love thy neighbor as thyself. Oh, by the way, if you'll do the first one, the second one will just come naturally. The second one will just come naturally. So Jesus is our source of our freedom from the penalty of sin. We know that. I mean, we know that for the wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We know that the penalty for our sin is death. It is an eternal separation from God for all eternity. But Jesus Christ paid the penalty, and He has given us the freedom to the believer, the freedom from the penalty of death and the penalty of sin. It is a life free from not only the penalty of sin, but we must understand this. It's also from the power of sin. The power of sin. We are a new creature. We have Jesus Christ. You know, sin no more has dominion over us. We have been set free, and now as we live our lives, we have been set free from the power of sin. The cross represents the freedom from the penalty of sin by Christ's death. And the empty tomb represents our freedom from the power of sin by His resurrection. I want to tell you, there's power in the cross, but there is also power in the resurrection. Jesus Christ came forth out of that grave. Hey, it told us He was exactly who He said He was, that He had power over death, hell, and the grave. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to sit down and ask Jesus His advice on things? I'd just sort of like to sit down and ask Him. Have you wondered what He would say is the most important thing to focus on in our lives? Sometimes I hear people talking about things and they say, well, I wonder if we've got it all figured out. I wonder if we're doing things the right way. In today's age, can we have things where they ought to be? I wonder how far we are away from being what God would want us to be, even as a church or whatever. But we want to ask these things. But here we see that, if Christ were to wrap all of His teachings into one truth, what would it be? What would it be? Well, actually, there's a question, and it's answered in the Bible. Jesus summed it up, His entire ministry, with these two commandments that we just read. Now, years ago, we put back here on the wall, reclaiming God's purpose. Love God, love others, and be a servant. We'll see all three of these things tonight in our message. And we wonder, are we doing things right? What do you think about this? Well, do we love God? Do we love others? And are we being a servant? And by the way, we're going to find out even at the end of the message, you know what? To being a servant really comes down, are you truly a servant when you are being a servant? Or when you're being treated like a servant? And that's when the rubber meets the road. Commandment number one, it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. I want to tell you, if a person is going to be spiritual, they'll have to love the Lord, their God, with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. Commandment number two says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And one in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1, as we've seen this morning, that we have a genuine concern for others that are not spiritual, if we're a spiritual being, a genuine love. Everything hinges on these two commandments that are given to us. Jesus chose to respond to the lawyer by answering him with two responsibilities upon which your freedom in Christ will hinge. Your freedom in Christ will hinge. It hinges on these two statements. If you want to be free, living free, and this freedom, expressing it in your life, these two things are what they hinge on. If a person will live with a conscious effort to obey these responsibilities, the first will remove your addiction, and the second will keep it from coming back. We have these struggles, and people seem like they're struggling with this for a while. They get things right, and they struggle back with it again. But I want to tell you, if we'll understand these two responsibilities, if we'll apply them to our life, the first one will take care of our addiction, and the second one will keep you from coming back. That's the power over sin. That's the power over sin. The love, first of all, first point tonight is this. Love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God. The word love is thrown around so much today that I don't think sometimes we have a true understanding what this word means. Love. Love the Lord your God. And so we see here tonight that our first responsibility to God is to love Him. It doesn't just say love God. It says with all your heart, with all your soul, and all of our mind. This really much covers every part of the human person. Everything that we deal with. These areas are dealing with the outer man. The problem is the outer man loves himself. See, in the relationship, the inner man, now we know, where does Christ abide? Christ abides in the inner man. And we must love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Our love of self constrains the Spirit of God from flowing through us. You know, we as Christians, you know what we are to be doing? We are to be allowing God to flow through us. I mean, we're a conduit. We ought to be a clean conduit. We ought to be a clean vessel for God to use. And this will see the power of the Christian life if we'll allow Him to live in and through us. So the first commandment is telling us to love God with the outer man, our heart, our soul, and mind. Meeting the responsibilities will break the outer man, allowing the inner man to flow through us, the inner man where Christ lives in us. Now, let us break this down. First of all our heart. If you love God with all of your heart, you will love Him with your entire emotional being. If you love Him with all your heart, you'll love Him with all your entire emotional being. The heart is your seat of your emotions and passions. Are you passionate about Him? Is He your precious one? Is He the one that you desire? Is He the one to have? If we love Him with all of our heart, often emotional highs and lows lead to indulging in self-sin. When we are emotionally drained, we tend to get selfish. Sinful habits are often fueled by our unchecked emotions. Do we love God with all of our heart? Placing our emotions under the control of the Holy Spirit will allow God to defeat our outer man. I want to tell you, we have responsibilities in our life, and we place our emotions under the control of the Holy Spirit. I know, how many of you know that our emotions can lead us wrong? The Bible says that our heart is deceitful. Who can know it? I mean, it can lead us. You know, we can really think, man, I want that with all my heart, but it can be truly the wrong thing for your life. Well, I just love that. Well, you can love something you ought not have in your life. You can love something that actually is going to harm you. But I'm thankful that our God, our Lord and Savior, He's not harmful. We ought to love Him. Realize circumstances of life which work together for our good are allowed by God and are intended to break that outer man. Determine not to get emotionally upset or discouraged and fail to see that God is working in on your behalf through these circumstances. There's things that come. I mean, we're in a struggle. We talked about, you know, how sometimes we get done wrong. I mean, sometimes the people that are the closest to you can seem to hurt you the most. But yet, if we're not careful, we'll allow our emotions to lead us to make wrong decisions. We met somebody talk and say something negative about something that we are doing that we feel like God would want us to do and feel like we're doing, but we're not careful. Well, don't they appreciate what I'm doing? And you feel your hurt, you feel your emotions coming up, and you decide to just turn and walk away. But realize things are put in our life, circumstances of life, which work together for our good. It says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to the promise. I want to tell you, that's a precious promise. That is a precious promise. Only God could do that. Even when you cannot see it, God is working and He's doing a good work in your life. If you will learn not to yield to your emotions, you will love God with your entire heart. Now, let's look at all your soul. All your soul. The soul is the human will. Boy, I tell you what, isn't that a powerful thing? The human will, what we want to do. Our human will. We're to love the Lord with all our soul. What we want to do is involved in the human will. That's the lust of the flesh. What we want to be, that's the pride of life. And what we want to have, that's the lust of the eyes. These are the three things that we're tempted with in any situation with sin. It's the same three things that Eve was tempted with in the garden. It's the same three things that Satan tempted Jesus Christ with in the wilderness was the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. Loving God with all of your soul requires a complete sacrificial surrender of our will to exercise and experience life as we would prefer. I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Do we understand what we're surrendering? You know what? Your will doesn't want you to do anything for God. Your will don't want you to go and tell other people about Jesus Christ. Your will don't want you to teach a Sunday school class. Your will don't want you to be involved in the ministries of the church. Your will is contrary to what God would want for you. And when we surrender our lives to God, I mean, this is a great battle in my life for a long time. There's still things I really, from time to time, I need to surrender. But I can remember the battles going on. I can remember, I mean, after being saved, I wasn't saved. I was 21 years old. God had dealt with me about things. I really had been dealing with me to preach for 6 years. Being a pastor's son, I just didn't want to have anything to do with it. I just didn't want to, I mean, you know what? I figured one day if I preach, I'd probably be a pastor. And I seen what people can do. And I said, Lord, I mean, if it wasn't for people, I'd do it. But you know what? It'd be hard to pastor without people, wouldn't it? But I can remember God dealing with me and to preach and all the time. And there'd be certain things happen. As my dad came up and he asked me to teach the teens. And I did. I said, okay, I got breath here. I'll do that. Now, I'm not going to surrender to preach, but I'll teach the teen class. And then next thing I know, the opportunity came up to teach an adult Sunday school class. And I said, okay, I'll do that, but I'm not going to preach. And I'm not going to surrender to preach. And man, for 6 years I struggled. 6 years God was dealing with me. My wife would tell you that I went to bed every night and I would throw up every night. I was so sick to my stomach. Didn't know what was going on. But I can remember that night that I was sitting in the back row Baptist. Man, I was sitting right there in the back row, you know, because, you know, I was, you know, just get away from it all. And my wife was down in the nursery downstairs in the back. And I remember sitting there and I can't explain the wrestling that was going on in my spirit, knowing that this is what God would have for me to do, but it wasn't really what I wanted. And I just kept on. And I was sitting there that night, and it was just like God spoke to me in an audible voice. He didn't speak to me in an audible voice, but it just felt like he did. He said, Kevin, if you don't surrender tonight, I'm not going to deal with you anymore. I'm done with you. And I tell you what, I was scared. I was scared to leave that place because I was afraid I was going to die when I got on the fire. That's how real it was to me. When I pulled out on the parking lot onto the road, God was dealing with me so much, and I was just like, he said, you know what, I've saved you for this. This is what I want you to do for you. This is not your purpose, and if you're not going to do it, I'm done. And I had a son, I had a wife, and I was thinking, man, you know what, I'm not going to be there. And I can remember that night I came out, I sort of bargained with God. Well, Lord God, if Missy comes upstairs, I'll go forward and surrender tonight. It was on a Wednesday night of all time. By the way, God can work on Wednesday nights. God can work on Sunday nights. That's why we ought to be in the house of God when the doors are open, because God, he speaks to us. We ought to have a desire to be there. And I can remember saying, Lord, if Missy comes up, I'll go up. But I said, I knew she never would come up. She's in the nursery downstairs. She wasn't going to come up. Well, you know what happened before that invitation was over? I felt somebody come in by me and grab a hold of my hand and say, hey, baby, you ain't supposed to be here. And you know what? I didn't go forward that night. I went home scared. Missy says, what in the world is wrong with you? On the way home. That's it. I just finally had enough. I said, Lord, I said, God's what called me to preach. She goes, you better call your dad. So I called my dad. I said, Dad, God's called me to preach. And he said, about time. He said, I knew it. And I surrendered that night in my home to do whatever God wanted me to do with my life as far as preaching and serving him. But I want to tell you, the reason the battle was because I had to surrender my life. I had to surrender what I wanted. I wanted the good paying job. I wanted a certain lifestyle and as far as living and stuff, but I wanted to be a certain way. I wanted to be a certain image, what I wanted. But he said, are you going to surrender to me? And I want to tell you, it was the greatest day of my life. Second to my salvation. When I surrendered, I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do. And God has put us through processes since that time. And there's been times I had to, amen, first, God works all things together for good to them and love the Lord and call them to his purpose. Realizing God was doing the work, preparing me for where I am now, where my family is now, and what's going on. And you know what? I really don't want to go back there, but I can say God has been so good. He's been so good. So good. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. Because you know what? I wouldn't be where I'm at. I wouldn't be able to serve the way I am. I wouldn't be able to be in His will like I am in His will today. So, all your soul. Loving God with all your soul requires a complete sacrificial surrender of your will to exercise and experience life as we would prefer. We all have plans for our life, but also we consciously make these decisions in alignment with what we believe God would have us to do, be, or have. Placing our life under His authority. What our soul wants in life often conflicts with God's desire for our life. We must force our desires to yield to God's desires in our life. When God gives us something different from what our soul desires, it is intended once again to work together for our good. By the way, it's a whole lot easier to yield it. You're His child, He's going to deal with you. It's a whole lot easier to just yield it instead of fighting it. His will is intended to break the outer man so that the inner man can flow through us. If you accept the truth, you will begin to love God with all your soul because your soul will love what God wants you to be, do, and have. The Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord, and He will what? Give you the desires of your heart. By the way, if you'll delight in Him, your desires will change. And He'll give you the right desires. Then we see the words that says all your mind. We have heart, and we have soul, and then we have our mind. And the mind is the most difficult to love God with. It is. Our mind is the center of our thought process. The sins of the mind are, for the most part, private. Nobody really sees them. Nobody knows what you're thinking. When you lose a battle to sin, the battle begins and was lost in your mind. Stinking thinking. That's what I call it. Stinking thinking. Not thinking the way that God thinks about things. Thinking. It just amazes me in my own life what I can almost bring to say, this is okay to do because of this or that. I mean, my mind's not saturated in the Word of God like it should be. Because of my emotions about something, my mind will begin to think another way. And sometimes I'll even say, you know what, I have the right to act this way. My mind goes in a battle. We think about things before we ever do it, and we are what we think. When you lose a battle to sin, the battle began and was lost in your mind. The hardest area of the outer man to control is the mind. It is unpoliced. Our emotions can show, our desires can be measured by our actions, but the mind is everyone's secret hiding place. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. What do we think about? Are there godly thoughts? You guys have an adult Sunday school class, been going through what's on your mind, talking about the mind, the different types of mind. And I express it to our teenage boys all the time, the importance of getting your mind set on God first of every morning. Get in the Word of God. Be thinking on what God wants. It will help you not to be stinking thinkers and to think what you ought to think. The hardest area of the outer man to control is the mind. We are talking about sins that are considered wicked, such as immoral or dishonest thinking. We are also talking about having a mind free of wicked thoughts, but still having a mind that is under our control and not God's control. Christians oftentimes like to mix the inner man with the outer man in the area of thoughts. We take a Spirit-led thought, mix it with our flesh, we mix it with God's promptings, with our own points of advantage. If we are not careful, it is possible to think within ourselves that our decisions are Spirit-led. Within ourselves, that our decisions are Spirit-led. You know, well, if I surrender this, what good will this do me? Or maybe it may be the motivation of people thinking that you are somebody if you do something that God's called you. We don't need to be mixing that. We must surrender our minds to the Lord. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul, spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Let's dissect this verse and we'll be finished tonight. The Bible is a sharp two-edged sword. How many of you know that it cuts both directions? No matter which way you swing it, it cuts. It cuts to the bone, pierces joints that are attached to the bone, pierces marrow, which is located in the bone. This tells us the outside and the inside can be pierced by the Word of God. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. The power of the Word of God. God's Word can pierce both the inner man, your spirit, and the outer man, your soul and mind, the will and emotions. This verse tells us that while the piercing is necessary, it says dividing asunder or apart the soul, the outer man, and the spirit, the inner man. You know, we like to try to mix the things together, but the Word of God will divide them and we can see them for what they are. It can tell us what the intent of our heart truly is. The verse that tells us that the Bible is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. We cannot discern our hearts, but the Bible can. How many have opened your Bible on a Monday morning and you look over and you read something and said, "Oh, man, my heart ain't right. Man, that just showed me. Maybe there's something in your life that shouldn't be there," and that was addressed that morning in the Word of God. And you say, "You know what? Man, gracious, look at that. The intent of my heart." How many of you sit in a congregation before and heard your pastor preach and something just pricked your heart? What was it? It was the Word of God. It was the Word of God. It's powerful. So, what can we do? What can we do to see to it that our mind is submitted to the mind of Christ? We must allow our soul and spirit to be separated by the Word of God regularly in our life decisions. We sometimes, well, a lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll make decisions without even considering God, without even considering His Word. All they seem to us is good decisions, but I want to tell you, we don't need to be in a rush to do what we want to do. We need to get to the Word of God and seek God's answers. Remember, God allows circumstances in our lives to lead to the breaking of this stubborn, selfish, and outer man. The outer man wants to feel what he wants, emotion. He wants to do what he wants, soul and will. And he wants to think what he wants, mind. If we will permit the circumstances God allows into our lives to break the outer man, we will find that those wounds which at one time were so hard to accept are very wounds that God will use to shine through to the world. This is where God is so amazing. He can take broken lives, put them back together, and at the same time, use what broke your life for His glory. He's prepared people for the very ministry that He's going to put them into. Wow! That's amazing. He can take something in your marriage and maybe have a hardship or difficulty, and He can use you if you allow God to do His work in your life. And get in His will and love Him with all your... Get this! Love Him with all your heart. Love Him with all your soul. Love Him with all your mind. He can use that tragedy, maybe in your marriage or whatever it may be, to use it's in preparation for the ministry, for you to be an encouragement to other people in their marriages. Whatever it is, maybe it may be the loss of somebody close to you, and it's hard and difficult as it may be, but God is preparing you because there's going to be somebody that crossed your path that needs to know you've been there and know you know that God saw you through. Wow. Being spiritual. I don't know, what is it in your life that you really feel like it's what beat you down and maybe what's made you want to give up? Hey, give God the glory. Let God have it and see what a wonderful things He can do with your life. Sometimes people get the idea, well, I've been through this and I've been here. God can never use me. I want to tell you, mate, you're really missing a lot of it. Because you know what? Because you were there and you turned and you went the right direction and you sought God, He put things back together, you are now qualified. I love it, man. When we get things right, God can do anything He wants with our lives. Take comfort in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Jesus Christ, the man who was tempted like us, but whose outer man was submitted to the inner man, God's Spirit. Look up Philippians, if you would. Take your Bible. Turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 through 8. It's my last verse tonight. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. The Bible says, beginning with verse number 5, says, let this mind be in you. This is talking to us, folks. How many of you here know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? Raise your hand if you know Him as your personal Savior. Okay. This is speaking to us tonight. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. I could preach another hour or two right there on that verse, those verses. There's a lot there. Let this mind be in you. In other words, be like Christ. He laid aside His life. He allowed the Holy Spirit, He allowed God to flow through His human life and use Him. And He was a servant. Love God, love others, be a servant. The true test of a servant is if you act like one when you are being treated like one. Choose to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Then we will be able to be led by the inner man, being spiritual. See, you can't be not being led by the Spirit and be spiritual. There's no way. There's no way. By the way, the Spirit will direct your tongue. Let no profane thing come out of your mouth. It'll protect from evil words coming out of your mouth. And you know what? The Spirit will lead you not to put anything inside there that shouldn't be there either. It will control your actions and your spirit. And it'll always lead you to be a servant. The inner man will lead you to others, and they are your second responsibility. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So this morning we talked about Galatians 1:6, how that to be being spiritual, you must first of all have a testimony of true salvation, a sincere submission to the Holy Spirit, and a genuine concern for those who are not spiritual. Here we see tonight, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, I hope something has been said tonight that made you think and examine. As we all desire, and I believe everybody in here would desire to be spiritual people, spiritually minded, spiritual beings. We know that salvation, we are made alive, our spirit is birthed. But now we must be filled with the Spirit and be led by the Spirit each and every day of our life. Surrendering to God. Give Him your all. Let Him have heart, soul, and mind. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank You and praise You tonight for Your goodness to us. Lord, I pray that Your Word tonight is spoken to our hearts. And God, just we know Your Word is not meant to beat us up or beat us down, but Lord, to help us to grow and be what You have saved us to be. Lord, I hope we leave here tonight encouraged as we see Your Word for what it is. Jesus Christ, thank You for all that You've done. Thank You for making salvation possible, for putting a love in our hearts that is indescribable, that agape love, and Lord, and a love for other people. And Lord, help us to be where You want us to be. Help us to be true. Help us to be real so we can have that power. Not only, Lord, You've done away with the penalty, but have that power over sin. Lord, have that power, the touch of God upon our lives. Oh, may it be said that there go some people that are spiritually people that love God with all their heart, with all their mind and soul, and they love people. And Lord, we know that this, Lord, will change our area, dear God. It will change our world. Help us to be what You want us to be. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, folks, for being here tonight. God bless you.